Welcome to your Health and Eating Well Report. This is your host, Shelley Capister. Today we will talk about cholesterol, the swell life, which is all about inflammation, your metabolism, what to eat to get ahead of the cold and flu season, and we will have a delicious healthy recipe for dinner tonight, flexible filling. So have your recording devices handy for a little later in the broadcast. All about cholesterol. This substance can be harmful or helpful to your arteries. The trick is to boost the good kind and slash the bad, by Sunny Seagold. Cholesterol performs more than one vital job. The fat-like substance is a building block for the intestinal acids that digest your food. It helps keep cell walls healthy, and it allows your body to produce all-important vitamin D. Like most things in life, however, too much can be problematic. One myth that patients often bring up is, I heard cholesterol doesn't really matter anymore, that heart risk is more about inflammation, says Suzanne Steinbaum, D.O., a cardiologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital and volunteer medical expert with the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women campaign. While inflammation is important, cholesterol absolutely still matters, she says. One large study published in the journal Circulation in 2015, for example, found that for every decade that someone was living with high or bad cholesterol, their chances of having a heart attack or stroke increased by 40% above their normal risk level. But here's the most important message doctors want to get out. We have so much more control over cholesterol than people think, says Dr. Steinbaum, meaning simple, everyday choices can make a real impact on your cardiovascular health. The different types. All it takes to check your cholesterol is a blood test. You can even use a do-it-yourself test kit. You'll get results for two kinds of lipoproteins or cholesterol protein combos traveling through the bloodstream. Low-density lipoproteins, LDL, combine with other substances to form sticky plaque buildups on the walls of your blood vessels. That contributes to blockages and narrowing of the arteries that can ultimately damage your ticker. I tell my patients LDL is lousy, so the lower the better, says Dr. Steinbaum. High-density lipoproteins, HDL, on the other hand, act like a garbage collector in your blood, picking up LDL and sending it to your liver to be broken down and excreted from the body. Good cholesterol is really protective and guards the lining of your arteries, says Dr. Steinbaum. Think of HDL as happy, and the higher it is, the better. There is one other result that will show up on a cholesterol panel, triglycerides. These lipids are made of extra calories your body doesn't need right away. They are stored in fat cells to be used as energy later on. But when triglycerides get too high, they contribute to the buildup of artery plaque, says Tamara Horwich, MD, medical director of the UCLA Cardiac Rehabilitation Program. According to research, people with elevated triglycerides are at increased risk of heart disease, even if their HDL and LDL levels are perfect. Rising levels. For many people, the main risk factors for high cholesterol and triglycerides are an unhealthy diet and a lack of exercise, says Dr. Steinbaum. But age counts too. As you get older, your liver isn't as efficient at removing LDL from the bloodstream, so levels tend to rise. At the same time, dropping estrogen levels during menopause push women's HDL down and LDL up, Dr. Steinbaum adds. Medications, such as birth control pills, can also elevate triglycerides. Some people are actually born with out-of-whack cholesterol levels. thanks to genetic mutations known as familial hypercholesterolemia. DNA tests like 23andMe and Helix can tell you if you are predisposed to the disorder. People think, oh, it's fine. That means my high cholesterol is genetic, and I don't have to worry about it, says Dr. Steinbaum. What it really means is that you have to be more aggressive about treating it. Women with familial hypercholesterolemia who aren't on cholesterol-lowering medications have a higher risk of heart attack before the age of 60. Getting control. If your cholesterol isn't in the normal range, adopting a few healthy habits can go a long way. Most of us can change our numbers through how we choose to live our lives, says Dr. Steinbaum. For starters, design a workout routine you can stick to. Exercise is the best way to boost helpful HDL, and it also slashes triglycerides. So aim for 150 minutes of moderate aerobic exercise, or 75 minutes of high-intensity activity every week, plus some additional strength training, says Dr. Horwich. In terms of your diet, try to limit refined carbohydrates and saturated fats, especially in processed and deep-fried foods. Gobbling up too much sugar and other refined carbs boosts triglyceride levels, while saturated fat hikes up LDL. Instead, focus on nutrient-rich plants and lean proteins. Envision yourself on the beaches of Greece and think about everything that you'd ever want to eat there. The vegetables, whole grains, and fresh seafood. That's what you want to eat at home too, says Dr. Steinbaum. It can also help to choose specific foods that are proven to lower LDL, including oats, barley, beans, nuts, and fatty fish like salmon or albacore tuna. And finally, there are medications called statins that can raise HDL and significantly reduce LDL. They are usually required for people who need to cut their LDL levels by half or more. Cholesterol is one of the most tangible and controllable parts of the heart health issue, says Dr. Steinbaum. It's very empowering to watch your numbers change for the better. The swell life. Left unchecked, inflammation can wreak havoc all over the body. Here is how to keep it at bay by Amanda McMillan. When you're talking health, the word inflammation comes up a lot these days, and for good reason. Researchers are discovering that it plays a role in nearly every disease that's likely to afflict us, including cancer, diabetes, and Alzheimer's. But inflammation isn't always harmful. The immune response can also be protective, helping the body recover from injuries and other threats. The trouble starts, doctors say, when inflammation shifts from an occasional reaction to a steady, ongoing process. The really important thing to know, however, is that there are some surprisingly simple ways to dial it back. The good and the bad. Inflammation is an essential physiological function. It's the mechanism by which the body repairs itself when it's under duress, says Paul Ridker, MD, director of the Center for Cardiovascular Disease Prevention at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. That duress could be many things, he adds, a sprained knee, a bug bite, an infection, or even a tumor. When the immune system senses problems like these, it triggers a release of chemicals that increase blood flow and send white blood cells and fluid to the damaged area in an attempt to heal it. Those chemicals can also cause swelling, redness, itching, and pain, which is why doctors may recommend anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen or aspirin to reduce discomfort after an injury or during an illness. Fortunately, this type of inflammatory response is temporary. Once any immediate dangers have been dealt with, things pretty much return to normal. But there is also another kind of inflammation, the low-level chronic type that occurs when the immune system is triggered persistently and stays on high alert for a long period of time. When this happens, inflammatory chemicals circulate in the bloodstream and can slowly cause harm to otherwise healthy tissues and nerves. The inflammatory response is crucial to survival, says Dr. Ridker. But in a modern world, we are realizing that it needs to be dampened down a bit to promote long-term health. Attack from within. We all have a degree of chronic inflammation in our bodies, but some of us have more than others. Prolonged stress is a common culprit because it can mess with the functioning of immune cells. Autoimmune diseases, which cause the immune system to operate in overdrive, can fuel inflammation too. Your doctor may order a simple blood test for the inflammatory marker C-reactive protein, CRP, to gauge your levels. In most cases, the usual suspect behind inflammation is lifestyle. Things like obesity, fast food, smoking, drinking, and lack of exercise, they all lead to chronic inflammatory response, says Dr. Ridker. Low-level inflammation may not sound so bad, but it can simmer for years. Studies suggest that it contributes to problems like arthritis, clogged arteries, gastrointestinal issues, high blood pressure, insulin resistance, and weight gain, to name just a few. Inflammatory compounds also produce free radicals that cause damage at the cellular level, which increases the risk of certain cancers. In a Johns Hopkins University study published earlier this year, middle-aged participants with the highest CRP levels in their blood had a 12% steeper decline in thinking and memory skills over a 20-year period than those with the lowest levels. Other studies have linked elevated CRP levels to a higher risk of heart disease, dementia, depression, and early death. Inflammation in one part of the body can also lead to issues elsewhere, like when inflammatory bowel disease prevents the absorption of certain nutrients in the gut, which then affects bone and muscle health. The connection isn't always so clear, though. Research shows that people with poor dental health and inflamed gums, for example, have an increased risk of heart attack. We don't know if one causes the other or if something underlying is causing both, says Farshid Guyak, Ph.D., professor of orthopedic surgery and director of Washington University's Center of Regenerative Medicine in St. Louis. But we know that inflammation is at least partially responsible. Curb it. The good news is there really are ways to moderate levels of inflammation in the body. One of the most effective strategies is losing weight. Research shows that obesity causes fat cells to act as if they are infected, which triggers the immune system to send inflammatory compounds in an attempt to heal them. Even losing just 5% of your body weight can significantly lower inflammation levels, which may help you feel better overall, says Guyak. What you eat matters too. High-calorie diets, saturated fat, refined carbohydrates, full-fat dairy, and red meat have all been shown to promote inflammation. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and unsaturated fats in fish, nuts, and olive oil, on the other hand, think Mediterranean-style eating, can fight it. A balanced diet is really what can help us prevent an inflammatory state, says Rachel Lustgarten, RD, a nutritionist at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City. And while more research on the cannabis derivative CBD is needed, studies in animals suggest it may relieve inflammation caused by chronic conditions like arthritis. CBD can be found in many forms, including edibles and tinctures, but so far researchers have looked at creams and ointments. It also pays to squeeze in exercise. Research shows that it can ultimately help suppress the production of inflammatory compounds. 20-minute bursts of activity a few times a week can make a real difference, according to a 2017 study. Logging good quality sleep and lowering stress levels are key, says Dr. Ridker. So is avoiding harmful chemicals that drive inflammation, as in cigarette smoke. In animal studies, exposure to BPA found in certain plastics and triclosan found in some toothpastes and antibacterial soap have been linked to an increased risk of inflammatory diseases as well. The best thing is to have a healthy lifestyle, Dr. Ridker says. It really does matter when it comes to your inflammation levels, and it can help prevent a lot of diseases down the road. Food as medicine. Nutritionist Rachel Lustgarten, RD, prescribes incorporating these foods into your diet to quell inflammation. Number one, berries are high and antioxidants, which neutralize cell-harming free radicals. But because they have a lower glycemic index than many other fruits, they won't cause blood sugar spikes, a suspected contributor to inflammation. Leafy greens like kale and spinach have vitamins K and E, which have been associated with reduced inflammation and may be protective against heart disease and arthritis. Salmon and other oily fish like mackerel, tuna, and sardines contain anti-inflammatory omega-3 fatty acids. Extra virgin olive oil is a plant-based source of omega-3s and can be a good alternative to pro-inflammatory saturated fats like butter. A compound in olive oil, oleocanthal, has been called a natural ibuprofen because it mimics the drug's anti-inflammatory actions in lab studies. Garlic contains organosulfur compounds which inhibit inflammatory proteins. Heating whole or freshly chopped garlic can deactivate these beneficial chemicals, so eat it raw or crush it and let it stand 10 minutes before cooking. And whole grains, such as bulgur, oats, and popcorn, are good sources of fiber, and studies show that people who eat more fiber have lower levels of CRP, a key indicator of inflammation in their blood. Okay. It is time to turn on your recording device if you would like a delicious, healthy recipe. This is a flexible filling. Get all the flavors of Greek spinach pie, spanakopita, in a fraction of the time. No pastry layering required. Here is the spanakopita filling. Heat 1 tablespoon extra virgin olive oil in a large non-stick pan over medium-high heat. Add 1/4 cup chopped shallot and cook, stirring often until softened, about 1 minute. Add 1 11-ounce package baby spinach in batches and cook, stirring until wilted, 3 to 5 minutes. Stir in 2 teaspoons each chopped fresh dill and fresh parsley, 1 clove grated garlic, and 1/4 teaspoon ground pepper. Cook, stirring, for 1 minute. Transfer the mixture to a large bowl. Stir in 1/2 cup part skim ricotta cheese and 6 tablespoons crumbled feta cheese. Then, here are fun ways to use this filling. Grill a sandwich. Divide the spanakopita filling among 4 slices of whole wheat sandwich bread. Top each with 1 slice of provolone cheese and another slice of bread. Cook the sandwiches 2 at a time in a large non-stick skillet with 1 tablespoon butter and 1 1/2 teaspoons extra virgin olive oil over medium heat until the bread is toasted and the cheese is melted. Pack a pepper. Cut two large red bell peppers in half lengthwise. Remove seeds and rub with 1 tablespoon extra virgin olive oil and sprinkle with 1/4 teaspoon salt. Stuff with a spanakopita filling and top each with 1 tablespoon shredded mozzarella cheese. Bake at 400 degrees until hot, about 35 minutes. Fill a calzone, quarter 1 pound whole wheat pizza dough, and roll each piece into a 7-inch circle. Divide the spanakopita filling among the circles and top each with 2 tablespoons shredded mozzarella cheese. Fold and crimp the dough. Bake at 475 degrees until browned, about 15 minutes. And top taters. Cook 1 pound frozen shredded potatoes in 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil into a roasty. Top with a spanakopita filling. And that's it. What you need to know about metabolism. Like height or eye color, metabolism is genetic and there's not much you can do about it, right? Not So Fast by Hilary R. Cower. First of all, what is metabolism? Many of us only have a vague concept of metabolism. Turns out, spoiler, there's more to it than simply how much food you can eat without gaining weight. Scientifically, metabolism refers to all of the chemical reactions that happen within your body. Processes like breathing, muscle functioning, building and maintaining bones, digesting food and turning it into energy, and even thinking. All of this requires energy, also known as calories. So we measure metabolism as the number of calories used to keep the engine going. Do some people naturally have a faster metabolism than others? Yes. Some people's engines use more energy, what we call a fast metabolism, than others. You and a friend may be the same age and size, but she can indulge in a nightly scoop of ice cream and never gain weight, while the same habit would send the scale trending upward for you. One factor may be your resting metabolic rate, RMR, which is the amount of calories your body uses just existing, sleeping, breathing. Surprisingly, this accounts for about 65 to 70% of the energy you burn in a day. The rest is energy used for physical activity and to break down the food you eat. And RMR can vary widely from person to person. One study of adults found that RMR ranged from 1,027 to nearly 2,500 calories per day. Researchers don't know exactly what's behind these differences, but how much lean muscle you have as opposed to body fat appears to play a large role because muscle and fat have different energy requirements. Other factors appear to be genetics, age, and size. A taller body uses more energy than a petite one, for example. How do I find out how fast mine is? Dina Meddy, M.S., who teaches nutrition at San Diego State University, recommends the Mifflin St. Gerard formula, which uses your weight, height, and age to find your RMR. There are calculators online to do the math for you. Your RMR is your baseline metabolism. From there, you can add in your activity level to get an idea of the number of calories you require each day. So you know how many you need to eat to lose, gain, or maintain your body weight. Some fitness centers also offer handheld metabolism measuring devices, but Meddy says skip them. They can be pricey, and an online calculator is just as accurate and free. Can I increase my metabolism? Yes, to a point, with strength training. A review published in Current Sports Medicine Reports found that on average, lifting weights increases RMR by about 7%, or an average of about 100 calories a day. This is because even at rest, muscle uses more energy than fat, burning about 3 times more calories, an estimated 6 calories per pound per day versus 2 for fat. Sure, 100 calories isn't huge, but it can make a difference for your weight over time. Think of strength training as one of the best ways to optimize the metabolism you were born with. The Wellness Pantry. Get a hold of cold and flu season by incorporating these immunity-boosting ingredients into your everyday meals by Cynthia Sayas, MPH, RD. Extra virgin olive oil. EVOO possesses antibacterial properties that can reduce the risk of becoming sick. Its antioxidants have also been shown to protect against immune-related inflammatory conditions, including diabetes, obesity, rheumatoid arthritis, and inflammatory bowel disease. Chamomile tea. Chamomile consumption has been linked to an increase in antibacterial activity in the body, but its real impact may be its ability to support sleep, which protects immunity. In one study, postpartum women who drank chamomile tea for a couple of weeks reported better sleep quality compared with those who didn't consume chamomile. Walnuts. In addition to being one of the top anti-inflammatory foods, walnuts contain several nutrients that play a role in supporting immune health, including vitamin B6, copper, vitamin E, and folate. Walnuts have also been shown in research to reduce psychological stress, which can weaken immunity. Kidney beans. Not only do they contain potent antioxidants, but kidney beans also boost essential nutrients that support immunity, including protein, zinc, and iron. Fiber feeds good bacteria, which promotes immunity and anti-inflammation in the digestive system. That's all for now. This has been your host, Shelley Kapister, with your Health and Eating Well report. Have a healthy, happy week.